Welcome to a new special episode of AI Unraveled. This is created by Etienne Newman. He's a senior engineer and a passionate soccer dad from Canada.
Great to be here.
If you're finding these deep dives useful, please do take a second to like and subscribe over on Apple Podcasts. It really helps.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're looking to boost your own productivity, maybe explore some AI tools, check out the show notes. There's a referral link and a discount code for Google Workspace.
Oh, yeah. That gets you access to things like Gemini PRO, Notebook Loam, Teams. That's some powerful stuff.
Exactly. And also, if you're studying for certifications, Etienne's Jamgay Tech app, it's AI-powered, can help you tackle like over 50 PBQs and those tricky simulation-based exams. Definitely worth a look.
Okay, so today we're really jumping into AI-powered drone delivery. We're going to focus specifically on how it's being used to, well, save lives and totally shake up logistics.
Yeah, and our main sources for this are a pretty detailed report called Life-Saving AI Drones Expanded, and also Marques Brownlee's YouTube video, you know, MKBHD, The Truth About Drone Deliveries. It's a great watch.
It really is.
So our mission today really is to unpack how AI is turning these drones into something much more than just flying cameras, right? We're talking about sophisticated autonomous systems.
Yeah, delivering critical stuff with speed, precision, safety, all that. And importantly, what does this actually mean for you listening?
Okay, let's dive in. So the report kicks off by outlining this huge global problem, getting essential medical supplies where they need to go. Billions of people, it says, lack reliable access.
Yeah, particularly in lower and middle income countries. It's mainly down to poor infrastructure.
This scale is just staggering. The WHO has this target, right? Like 80% availability for essential meds.
Mm-hmm. But it's missed, consistently missed in so many places. Public health systems, private ones. It affects everyone.
And the consequences are, well, they're huge. Life or death, really.
Absolutely. The report digs into why. You've got underdeveloped roads.
I think
it's at over 80% are unpaved in Rwanda, for example.
Wow.
And power issues. Messing with the cold chain for vaccines and blood. That's critical.
Right. And fragmented supply chains, poor data, not enough trained logistics people. It's like a perfect storm of problems.
It really is. And these aren't just minor delays. You know, it's about getting blood to someone hemorrhaging after childbirth, or antibiotics for a severe infection, vaccines to stop outbreaks. Delays cost lives.
It's a massive human cost. So this is where the AI-powered drones step in. Sounds futuristic, but the report frames it as a, well, a major technological leap.
Yeah, because they can just fly over all those ground problems, right? Bad roads, traffic. None of that matters in the air. It's about tackling that really difficult last mile.
And AI is the key ingredient here. These aren't just remote-controlled toys. AI boosts everything.
Totally. Navigation gets way better, especially in tricky terrain or, you know, places where GPS is spotty.
Okay.
And perception, seeing, and avoiding obstacles. Plus, dynamic routing, adjusting plans on the fly. It all makes the whole operation safer and much more efficient.
Now, both the report and Marques' video really zoom in on one company, Zipline. They started back in 2014.
And their mission is, well, it's pretty bold. Instant access to essential medical supplies for everyone, everywhere. They want to build the first logistics system that serves everybody equally.
That's huge. And what's interesting is how they started, right? Focusing on life-saving medical deliveries in Africa first.
Yeah, that was a really strategic choice. While others were maybe looking at, I don't know, delivering pizza or packages, Zipline went for the critical need.
And the report suggests that focus was actually key to getting buy-in.
Definitely. Dealing with life-saving supplies builds trust with governments, health bodies. It probably made navigating all the regulations a lot easier than if they were just delivering consumer goods, you know.
Makes sense. So the founders, Keller, Renato Clifton, Keenan Weirebeck, Will Hetzler, they had this strong robotics background, but also this real drive to, like, make a difference.
Right, tackling those healthcare infrastructure gaps.
Yeah.
And their first big project was Rwanda, starting in 2016.
Becoming the national blood delivery service, basically.
Yeah, addressing those challenges we mentioned, mountains, unpaved roads, and a huge focus was maternal mortality from postpartum hemorrhage, getting blood there fast.
And then they expanded, vaccines, other meds, aiming to cover all 500 health facilities.
Mm-hmm, that was the goal. Then Ghana followed in 2019, partnering with the Ministry of Health, vaccines, blood, medicines across loads of regions.
Became vital during COVID, didn't it, for vaccine distribution?
Absolutely crucial. Serving over, what, 2,300 health facilities eventually? These were massive nationwide systems.
But it wasn't all smooth sailing from day one, the report says. Some early challenges.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The report mentions it being a bit scrappy at first in Rwanda. Some early aircraft failures. It really shows their resilience, though, and how they learned and improved.
They had to iterate constantly. The tech evolved based on real-world flying. Like the landing, they went from fishnets.
Then inflatable mats, and now these tall structure recovery systems. Much more sophisticated.
And the software improved, too, managing more drones at once. And that second-gen aircraft in 2017 was a big step up in reliability.
You can't forget the regulations, either. Flying drones autonomously, beyond visual line of sight. That was groundbreaking stuff.
Required huge collaboration with the aviation authorities in Rwanda and Ghana.
Totally. Developing safety protocols, getting approvals. The report really credits the flexibility and partnership from those governments as being essential.
And they had to build the ground infrastructure too, right? These zip hubs.
Exactly. Launchers, recovery systems, reliable power backup generators, UPS, even solar in Nigeria. Maintenance crews.
Plus integrating with the existing health IT systems. That sounds complex.
It was a whole ecosystem they had to build. Yeah. And crucially, community engagement.
Right. You can't just start flying drones over villages without explaining things.
No way. They had proactive outreach teams talking to leaders, communities showing the benefits. They even did things like sponsor health insurance premiums in Rwanda. Building that trust was vital.
Okay, let's dig into the tech itself. It's pretty sophisticated, purpose-built stuff. Two main platforms now, P1 and P2.
Right. P1 is Platform 1. That's the original long-range workhorse, like they used initially in Africa.
Fixed wing, carbon fiber frame, styrofoam shell. Pretty big wingspan, like 11 feet.
It weighs about 44 pounds, carries maybe 4-6 pounds of payload. But the range is impressive, 60-mile service radius, so over 120 miles round trip.
And the launch and recovery? That's unique. Electric catapult, 0 to 67 mile per hour in a third of a second.
Insane speed. And then it gets caught midair by a hook on its way back. No runway needed. Deliveries are by parachute drop from like 100 feet up.
Marcus Brownlee showed that, called it insane, but effective for those medical drops in Rwanda.
Exactly. P1 is still used for those longer hauls, even some initial U.S. stuff in Salt Lake City. But then there's P2.
Platform 2, that's the newer one, designed for shorter ranges, home delivery in cities and suburbs.
Totally different design. It's VTO, vertical takeoff and landing. So it takes off like a helicopter, then flies like a plane. Much quieter, much more precise.
Carries a bit more, up to 8 pounds, but shorter range, maybe 10 miles.
Right. And the delivery is really clever. Marquis actually ordered something and saw it happen.
Yeah. How does it work?
The main drone hovers quite high, like 300 or 400 feet up, way quieter up there. Then it lowers this little tethered delivery droid.
A droid on a string.
Kinda. But this droid has its own sensors, little thrusters. It can navigate precisely and place the package very gently. Marquis called it dinner plate accuracy.
Wow, okay. That's impressive. And underpinning all this is the AI and autonomy, right? Level 4 autonomy.
Yeah, meaning they fly the mission themselves under normal conditions. P2 has this system called Flight IQ for even smarter flying and sensing.
Because it's seeing the world around it, avoiding things.
Real-time airspace sensing, avoiding other aircraft, managing the whole fleet so they don't bump into each other, centimeter-level navigation accuracy, predictive weather. It's complex stuff.
Human pilots still monitor remotely, though.
Oh, yeah, but the AI does the heavy lifting, especially for that precise P2 droid landing. Probably using computer vision, NVIDIA chips mentioned in the sources.
And safety must be paramount. Redundancy everywhere.
Absolutely. Multiple motors, backup systems for controls, flight computers, power, emergency parachutes. The P1 drone is even designed to break apart relatively safely if the worst happens. Hundreds of pre-flight checks, too.
And that acoustic detection system, listening for other planes.
Yeah, the Detect and Avoid, or DAA, uses microphones and AI to track aircraft that aren't broadcasting their position. Super important for flying beyond visual line of sight safely.
And their safety record is pretty amazing. 100 million miles, zero harm to people on the ground.
That's what they claim. And it's a huge selling point. Noise is another big factor, especially for P2 near homes.
Right. You don't want constant buzzing.
Exactly. They've invested heavily in acoustic engineering. P2 has these special propellers they say are practically silent. Plus, hovering high up during delivery helps a lot.
And it's more than just the drones. It's the whole logistics system.
Mm-hmm. The physical hubs, the software managing inventory, orders, flight planning, tracking. And that validated cold chain capability is crucial for meds.
Mark Brownlee's perspective really brings it home. He was skeptical at first, right?
Yeah, he pictured the loud, clunky drones maybe dropping packages from Amazon or Wing. He was genuinely surprised by Zipline's tech and scale.
Calling them the largest autonomous drone delivery fleet in the world.
Seeing that P2 delivery demo, ordering the power bank and getting it placed perfectly, that seemed to really impress him.
And he saw P1 too, the slingshot launch, parachute drop, caught by a string. Insane, but undeniably successful in Rwanda.
Yeah, he mentioned those Real Engineering and Mark Rober videos too, which are great explainers. He got into the P2 drone details, articulating props for VTOL, the styrofoam body, carbon fiber wing, about 55 pounds.
And the little delivery zip droid, carbon fiber, doors become the floor, thrusters for control, sensors, tiny but capable.
And he stressed how quiet that P2 delivery was. Drone stays high, droid comes down precisely, avoids obstacles like dogs he mentioned. Gentle placement.
He asked the key questions everyone has, like how loud is it?
And Zipline explained their acoustic work propeller design, algorithms, high altitude. Result? Shockingly quiet compared to consumer drones.
What about delivery time? Faster than my pizza guy.
Well, the restaurant still has to cook, but the drone part could be super fast. Maybe 3-5 minutes after pickup for typical app delivery distances, given P2 speed. They're prototyping faster drop-off pickup points too.
And weather, rain, wind.
They're built tough, designed to fly in almost anything short of a hurricane, waterproof like a car. He saw a successful delivery in windy night conditions. They aim to be as reliable as the delivery truck, basically.
And safety again. He called the system ridiculously bulletproof.
Yeah, redundancies, flying even if props fail, constant checks, obstacle avoidance, drones communicating with each other, parachute backup. That 100 million mile safety record is hard to argue with.
Okay, let's talk impact. What has this actually achieved on the ground? Rwanda, for instance.
Huge impact. Handling 75% of blood deliveries outside Kigali. Delivery times cut by 61%. A lot of these are emergencies.
And that amazing stat on maternal health, 51% reduction in deaths from hemorrhage in Zipline-served hospitals.
That's what one study found, yeah.
Yeah.
Directly linked to faster blood access. Plus, 67% less blood wastage due to expiry.
And they cover almost the whole country now from two hubs, cost-wise.
Comparable to road transport, especially for emergencies, according to studies there.
And Ghana, big impact on vaccines.
Definitely. Millions of doses delivered, vital for COVID. Vaccine stockouts shortened by 60%, missed vaccinations down 42%. Routine immunization coverage actually increased in some areas.
Wow. And other medical supplies, too.
Yeah, 21% fewer days overall when facilities were without critical supplies. Providers reported being much happier with availability.
Cost effectiveness in Ghana.
Studies suggest drone vaccine delivery was cheaper per dose than ground transport and even more cost effective than some other public health interventions.
Plus broader benefits, savings for families, health system savings, less waste, electric power.
Exactly. High initial setup cost, maybe, but the value seems clear, especially where infrastructure is poor.
So Zipline's not stopping there. They're expanding globally, diversifying.
Right. Operations now in Nigeria, Kenya, Cote d'Ivoire, Japan partnership. Yeah. 8 countries, 4 continents now. Over 1.4 million deliveries, 100 million miles flown.
And the U.S. market is a big focus, navigating the FAA regulations.
Mm-hmm. Working through pilot programs, getting that Part 135 certification for commercial ops, including beyond visual line of sight. It's a complex process.
And forging big partnerships in the U.S. healthcare giants like Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic.
Yeah, loads of major health systems signed up for P2. And retail, too. Walmart, Sweetgreen, Panera, showing that move beyond just healthcare.
So where are they actually flying in the U.S. now, May 2025?
P2 is live with Walmart in Mesquite, Texas. Big expansion planned in Dallas-Fort Worth and Seattle-Tacoma soon. Cleveland Clinic launch is 2025. Mayo Clinic integration underway. P1 still flying in Utah.
They project reaching over 30 million people in 11 states eventually.
That's the plan. It's ambitious. But they're not alone in this space, are they?
No, the report mentions competitors. Matternet doing urban medical logistics.
Wingcopter with those efficient eVTOLs for medical and humanitarian aid.
Kite Aero focusing on remote regions. Alphabet's Wing, Amazon Prime Air. Though they seem more focused on consumer goods, maybe struggling a bit more with scaling.
Yeah, different focuses. And then there are niche applications emerging, like organ transport.
That sounds incredibly critical, reducing the time organs spend outside the body.
Exactly. Companies like Unit or Bioelectronics already delivered lungs by drone, Others are exploring longer-range systems. Huge potential there.
And search and rescue disaster response. Drones are perfect for that.
Yeah. Quick recon, getting aid to tough spots, thermal cameras, AI for spotting people, DJI, Autel drones often used there.
Okay, the regulatory side is obviously key to all this growth. It's complicated.
Great. The US FAA has its evolving system waivers, pilot programs, certifications like Part 135, BVLOS approvals.
Yeah.
It's step by step.
Europe has EASA, more harmonized, risk-based approach, use-based for traffic management.
Right. Africa saw early adoption in places like Rwanda and Ghana with flexible rules, but it's fragmented overall. Asia Pacific is also really diverse, country by country.
Key challenges everywhere seem to be safe. BVLOS flight, standardizing rules, integrating drones into busy airspace, public acceptance.
Mm-hmm. And just the capacity of regulators to handle it all. It can be an enabler or a bottleneck.
Mm-hmm.
Proactive companies with good safety data have an edge.
So looking forward, what's next? Even smarter AI.
Yeah, enhanced autonomy, better decision-making, maybe collaborative swarms, improved sensors, making them even more capable and reliable.
Better batteries, longer range, maybe alternative power like hydrogen.
Definitely. And integrating them seamlessly into healthcare systems, linking with hospital IT pharmacy systems. That's a big integration challenge.
Widespread adoption depends on scaling up and bringing costs down, right?
Totally. Mature tech, permissive regulations, efficient ground operations, high automation. That's the path to scale and lower cost.
And we might see totally new uses emerge.
Yeah.
Field diagnostics, delivering telemedicine gear.
Industrial inspection, environmental monitoring, lots of possibilities. It feels like there's a positive feedback loop. Success breeds confidence, investment, better regulations, more innovation.
But we have to touch on the ethical side, the societal impact.
Absolutely critical. Privacy is a big one, surveillance worries, data misuse, needs strong governance, transparency.
Data security too, risk of hacking, disruption.
Mm-hmm. Equity, making sure benefits are shared fairly, avoiding bias in where drones fly. Job displacement in traditional logistics is another concern.
And safety risks, obviously. Malfunctions, weather, collisions, wildlife impacts, noise pollution in cities.
All valid concerns. Needs ongoing work, better tech, strict rules, public engagement. Building trust is essential. It's about balancing those amazing benefits against the potential risks.
So wrapping up this deep dive, AI-powered drones are clearly moving beyond hype. They're saving lives, transforming logistics. Zipline's journey really showcases that potential.
Yeah, from those early days in Africa to global expansion, driven by smart tech and AI. But progress depends on that mix of technology, regulation, and addressing the ethical questions.
Definitely. So a final thought for you listening. As these drones become more common, what other maybe unexpected ways could they change our communities and how we access services?
And what role do we all play in setting the boundaries for this tech as it keeps evolving so fast?
Great questions. Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Check the show notes for links if you want to explore more.